The most action-packed content from the top mobile experts. This is the App Masters Podcast with Steve P. Young.
The world's best subscription apps use RevenueCat to power in-app purchases, manage customer data, and grow revenue on iOS, Android, and the web. With RevenueCat, I can easily see my most important metrics. What are those? That's install the trial the paid, and LTV. And now they have a new paywall feature that's going to make it easy for you to build high converting paywalls and, more importantly, A/B tests without needing a new build. Learn more at RevenueCat.com. That, once again, is RevenueCat.com. Notix is an audience re-engagement service based on web and in-app push notifications that work for both desktop and mobile devices. With Notix, website, app owners, and marketers can share their content and interact with their audiences in a highly engaging channel, while still having the opportunity to monetize both mobile and web subscribers. Learn more by visiting notix.co. That is notix.co. What is Web2 app for those who might not be familiar with it?
Web2 app is simply a method of acquiring users for your mobile app via the web. So the usual user flow for your product may look like that. The user sees an ad creative somewhere on Facebook, for example. They click on it and go to the App Store, and then they download the app and buy a subscription there. But in the Web2 app flows, another step is added to the funnel. It's a web step. After clicking on the ad creative, they go to the web page, the website, or maybe even a set of web pages. And only after being there, they go and download your app. This contradicts most notions about minimizing the time to value and, you know, getting the user to try your product as fast as you can. But there are some reasons for using it. So for us, there are two main types of Web2 app acquisition. It's the pre-land. It's short for pre-landing. It's a short landing before App Store. And web onboarding or web subscription funnel. It's a series of questions, of steps with payment in the end. Something like app onboarding, but on the web. So in the second type of Web2 app, the user pays on the web. And this is a huge source of growth that we have on Headway. And it is something that we already use even in our R&D products. So there is this thought that Web2 app can only be utilized on scale, but I think it depends on your product and on your niche. In my experience, health and fitness and educational niches have a great chance of succeeding on Web2 app. My advice is to look at your competitors. If your competitors use Web2 app, you can check it. You can try to find their web funnels, their website. You can try to understand how many users are there, how many people go to these sites. And then you can see whether this is a huge source of revenue, source of users for them. If it is, then there's a high chance that it will be good for you as well. If your competitors don't use the web, then maybe you should really delay this test because maybe they've tried it and it didn't work.
If you're thinking about doing a Web2 app campaign and you don't have the resources to build the web onboarding, is this where you should start off, Ava?
I would say that it is definitely easier to work with freelance. This is just a simple page that you can create really fast, but it won't diversify your revenue. Users won't pay there. So This is mostly a means of attracting a new type of audience to your app other than from usual app install campaigns, like from SKAd network campaigns. This audience will be different. And the reason why it will be different is because of the events tracking that you can set up on this page. So why this page is actually needed in this setup is because Facebook, I'm talking about Facebook here, They have this technology called Conversions API, or CAPI in short. I think it was previously known as server-side events or something like that. So it essentially allows you to treat your server as a cookie storage, and you get the information about the user at this page. And then when the user makes the purchase in your app, you send this information to Facebook too. But because they started on the web, Facebook sees this as essentially a web purchase and not an app purchase. So you kind of send this different signal to them. And what it does is it starts attracting a different type of audience than you usually do with your usual campaigns. So this is, in my mind, more of a way to scale than a totally acceptable first approach if you have an app right now. But if you're deciding on whether to start with an app or with the web subscriptions, then you can really consider the web onboarding flow first and the web product as well.
Let's break down the pre-landing.
We can see that these are usually very simple pages with like some text, maybe an image, and a simple but very bright CTA button that leads the user to the App Store. So here your goal is just to let them go to the next step as fast as you can.
How do you set up the meta ads?
So what data you pay attention to here is mostly the information about the user that you get from the browser. So it's like cookies, like this type of data. In your campaigns, you don't optimize on the click here. You optimize on the purchase in the app. But because you know a lot of information about the user from their browser at this stage, through this small button, you can transfer this information to your app and still access it when the user makes the purchase. And I have some tips for the freelance that you can use that to optimize it. The first one is to customize. This is my favorite topic because you have endless opportunities for optimization in customization. So the idea here is to customize what you show here to your ad creative. Sometimes we don't really customize these custom product pages to the creatives, to the freelance. We just duplicate them. And in this way, we can track the performance of our ads better. Web onboarding, it's another huge topic. Users pay in the web. What's the difference? The main thing is that the payment is processed on the web and not on the app. And the app is just another way for the users to use your product. They may stay on the web when you have a web version, as we do, or they may go even to the Android app if they don't have an iOS app. So they have multiple options to choose from. The flow of making a purchase on the web funnel is very different from what you do on the app. When you buy something on the app, you can just double click your button on your phone and you have your card details already inputted and tied to your Apple ID or whatever. On the web, you have to input your card details from scratch every time if you don't have the card saved. For the user, and they start feeling so many uncertainties and doubts and they don't trust your website. Another thing is that the App Store and the, for example, Apple environment, they provide a very safe space for the user to buy. So every app's page in the App Store is structured in a familiar way. Users can always find trustworthy reviews on the App Store that they can read and kind of understand what the app is about. They know where to cancel. So it is so easy for them to make this decision to buy on the app. And on the web, the situation is different. The website, it is different from everything that they have seen before. I wanted to talk about the email step. You need this step here because to process the payment, you need something, at least a phone number or an email. And in our experience, an email works better. So more people just have emails who buy on the web. And then people go to the offer. Compared to the mobile app paywalls, the web paywalls are much longer. And I think that this is something that is not utilized enough in mobile apps. Recently, for our R&D products, testing playing with long paywalls on the app, and it works well too.
I've been talking about long paywalls since 2019. I was like, I know it works better on the web. People will read what they want to read. So I don't see why it wouldn't work well on mobile. Now people have tested this and I like this paywall. If you guys are doing long paywalls, the one thing that I would eliminate from my best practices is just the features table. Like what do you get with the free plan versus what you get with play plan? I've seen these type of screens before the paywall, but I like on the web, you just have it on the page. You're leading with everything, all the benefits, FAQs, why social proof, and then asking for the payment. So that's sort of, I love it.
Yeah, the next thing is always use limited time offers. This triggers loss aversion, fear of missing out, urgency biases. Yeah. In our experience, the 10-minute timer works well on the web, but maybe it will be different for you. Especially about iOS, you can lock them in via a deep link. So you can kind of include their email in the deep link. This way, when they download the app from the App Store, they will be automatically logged in. And this will make this experience for them very seamless and easy and flowing.
Tired of overpaying for App Store optimization? Get unlimited ASO and app marketing support to increase your keyword rankings, downloads, and more importantly, your revenue. Learn more at asomasters.com.
Thanks for listening to the App Masters podcast. For show notes and amazing app marketing content, check out appmasters.co.